part 2, episode 52, the All Valley Karate Championship commemorative episode of the Baller Lifestyle podcast. If you missed episode 1, find it at theballerlifestyle.com or on iTunes. I am, as always, your host, Brian Beckner. We now join episode 52 in progress.
Let me jump forward. If I could add my kind of play-by-play.
Yes.
The next scene, Daniel's coming out of his, he was out. He's just coming, just becoming conscious. And we just assume it's kind of written between the lines that Miyagi's already given him the rub and tug. We've already gotten to the point because his pants are unzippered. And then as Miyagi's like nursing him back to health, Daniel utters like might be the most ridiculous line of the movie. And he, Miyagi's like, karate is for defense. It's not for blah, blah, blah. And Daniel utters the line, "Thanks for nothing." Like, dude, okay, hold on a second. Yes. This guy fixed your bike.
Yes.
This
he kicked the shit out of your tormentors.
This guy saved your life. Yes. Yes. And now he's nursing you back to health, and yeah. You're saying thanks for nothing?
Yeah. Because at that he wants point, him to, maybe he's still wants him to teach him what he knows, and he says no.
Of course. But at that point, Miyagi's got to be like, what a fucking
he's a little
ungrateful
bitch.
Little dick.
Totally.
Also, the head dabbing. What's happening there? Like, what's he's got a wet,
head dabbing annoys me no end.
He's got a wet Okinawan cloth, and he's just dabbing away into his face.
Also,
what's
he
doing?
It's intimate.
Also, Miyagi hands him a cup of tea, and Daniel is like, literally, look, what the fuck do I do with this?
Yeah, he's never had tea. He's from Jersey. Ed, Jersey. What? Not
hang
a big
on a
tea
second.
Drinking
hang
locale.
On a second. If you were just in a fight and somebody's like, here, have a cup of tea, you'd probably say, what the fuck is this also? Who has tea in
that he doesn't
moment?
Know what to do with
that's
it.
That's a Bill Cosby
he
move.
Doesn't know that it's a hot beverage to consume.
Right.
Isn't?
He's all confused.
I think I'd want a cold beverage.
Yeah, who wants a hot beverage after getting in a fight?
No, no one.
Why didn't he take him up to his mother, who was upstairs? If your son got brutally assaulted, wouldn't
can't,
you?
You know
want
what? Can't
him
can't hear him that's scream true. From the. From
she's the... seating a four top at the Orient Express at the moment.
That's true.
Okay,
ma'am, your son was just violently assaulted by six guys. You need to call the cops.
So Daniel's like, where's Spider-Man, and Miyagi's like, oh, that's me. He realizes that Miyagi's a karate champion or a karate master, and he agrees after he says thanks for nothing, as Jason's alluded to, he agrees that he's going to train him. And what does he says, come over to my baller Japanese style garden pad the next day. And what's the first thing he tells him? We need a strict no questions asked.
you have to go back to the last scene just for a second. It's the first time we've seen the all healing powers of rubbing your hands together.
That's true. That's right.
So that's good foreshadowing for what could be the payoff in the movie.
That's right.
Rub your hands together,
and that all the magic is consumed is like is in your hands.
That's right. Yeah.
The magic hands.
But you got to admit, you got to admit when that music starts. You get a little amped.
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself.
It's true. It's pretty exciting.
Can I just mention here that in 57 minutes and 11 seconds, and there has been basically no karate.
There's been plenty of karate, just not by Daniel.
Daniel only does karate in the tournament.
Has he taken him to the beach yet and made him swim in the freezing
water? No, we're not there yet. Okay. We're not there.
He's kindly remove it yourself, Mr. Moto.
And he makes the deal with Kreese.
He agrees to train him.
But this is first he makes the deal with Kreese, saying leave him alone.
Oh, right.
Points to the poster that says December 19th, All Valley Tournament.
1-2-1 problem, yes. 5-2-1 problem, too much ask anyone.
You don't come in my dojo and drop a challenge and leave, old man. Now you get your boy in the meta, you and I will have a major problem.
too much advantage. Your dojo.
That's right.
That's the key.
That's
he says,
right.
Yeah. He so
leave boy alone.
In saving him, he challenges the entire Cobra Kai to a fight.
Right.
And Daniel's like,
and he puts his own butt on the line because he says if he's not at the tournament, it's open season on him.
Yeah, yeah. Then
and you.
Then Kreese basically says, "I'm going to kill you both." Yeah. Still,
just threatening.
You're a pushy little fella. You're a pushy little fella, but I like it.
Ask leave boy alone to train.
You're a pushy little bastard, ain't you?
Yeah. Also, Kreese. Let's be honest. Marty Cove, John Kreese, what's he like, 5'7"? Like, he's not, he's supposed to be some super huge guy, but next to Miyagi, he's like not that much bigger.
So we go from the fact that he basically threatens to kill both of them if they don't show up at the tournament, which is, again, something to take to the police, but we'll ignore that and we'll just start our karate training, which yes. Which is when.
That's right.
What does he do?
He's like, hey, come over here. This is my place. It's, you know, back behind some oil derricks. You know, it's like.
But he does. He is able to ride his bike to it.
Yeah,
he rides his bike to it.
Yeah, he rides his bike again.
It's where a serial killer would live.
And it looks like it's like San Pedro, like you're deep, right. Long Carson.
Long Beach, yeah.
You know, like pretty far bike ride from the valley.
Why couldn't he give him a ride?
It's and by
he's
the
got
dogs.
Five cars. So right. I don't know.
Yeah. What's the mom's thing now? Now the mom, like, hey, mom, I'm going to go spend 12 hours over at the handyman's house in the middle of nowhere. Yes. Is that cool?
Where does he live? I'm not
I don't
really
know.
Sure.
I don't know. It's far. It's
also, it seems like he's derricks. Doing this consecutive days, like his school finish or something.
Yeah, that's a good point. It did, yeah, it's like long weekend.
She's skipping school.
Thanksgiving break,
but this,
maybe. Yeah.
This is where we learn that Miyagi has a huge complex and like 10 cars.
Yeah. He's
Where's the money from? Is he got an opium den? Like, was there a big settlement from the U.S. government for the war crimes? Right.
Yes, he's got a sick Japanese garden. He brings Daniel over, announces his no questions asked policy, yeah. And then tells him to wax it on and wax it off.
And the child labor begins.
Right. Yeah, it's an unnerving exchange, but then he puts him to work and has him apparently it takes like 14 hours to wash and wax all of Miyagi's many, yeah. Many
so here's the question about
cars.
Those cars were in impeccable condition.
They just need to wash.
So why did he let them fall into such shady repair with just put a car cover over those things?
Give them a wash.
Right.
Once a week.
Because once they were washed, they were in really good shape.
Yeah, they were perfect.
I didn't like that.
Ed, anything to add there?
Well, think about the I was thinking what a great slow play that would be for any of us. Like if we had a bunch of major projects to be done, like just go to the local basketball court and be like, I could teach you to be the greatest basketball player of all time, but no questions asked.
Yes.
Like I need you to build this shed for me and fix the wiring. I need you to put in a sound system.
And tomorrow
and then at the end
day,
be like, trust me, this
house.
Is gonna make you great. Yeah. This is gonna make you great. And then just be like, oh, I guess I whiffed on that one.
Very surreptitious. Like, why not tell him from the get-go, this is going to train you to be a great karate artist.
Instead of
dupe him into doing these things and get him all pissed off. It was a very odd strategy from a people manager standpoint.
Correct. I agree. So we now Daniel's in the midst of his training, even though he doesn't realize it. But at that point, he's sort of smoothed things over with the Cobra Kai. They're in their detente, and then he gets his first date with Allie.
Can I just ask a quick question before we go into the date with Allie? Like, what exactly does Daniel learn from Miyagi from the child labor sequence besides like some like jazz hand moves?
We're not to the end of that. We're not because we're in the midst of that. He starts his training. He takes Allie to golf and stuff, and he essentially guarantees that he's going to get some pussy by having his mom drive them up.
His mom picks him up from her baller mansion in Encino.
In Encino, they have pillars.
And he vandalizes the house by kicking that brick out of the
way. He breaks their bricks.
Her parents are my favorite characters.
Her dad drives a Rolls Royce.
They've
been
playing
tennis at night. They're playing some night tennis. Right.
And they're real snobby, even though they let their daughter go to a public school with the kid from Reseda.
Yes, exactly. I couldn't afford to get her in a good school.
But
do you live
in
Encino, Daniel?
Right.
But Daniel's mom drives the station wagon, And yet those are enormous vehicles, and they all cram in the front seat.
That's
three people in the front seat.
It's funny. I had an exact note like that, Eddie. You and I think alike before that. So that's kind of the crux of the scene. The crux of the scene is that when the parents say, "Are you from Encino, Daniel?" and he says, "I'm from Reseda."
Reseda.
The looks on their face. It was such overacting. It was like the director said, "You need to think that he actually told you that he lives in a dumpster and he molests small kids."
Yes.
That's how you need to react to Reseda.
Well, in Allie's parents' defense, he did say that he lives in Reseda.
I know, yeah.
But have there ever been any rich people in 80s movies that were depicted not as assholes?
That's right. I mean, the mom drives a convertible Benz. The dad drives a Rolls fucking Royce. They were just at the club playing tennis. They're country clubbers. Mm-hmm. They head out on their date. They go. And also, Daniel, no plan for the date. I don't know. What are we doing?
Yeah. We'll just get to golf and stab and figure it out.
Because girls
that's
love
the quickest way in
their
pants.
The plan for the date.
So
that's the quickest way into a girl's pants.
Totally.
Ride around aimlessly with your mom in a station wagon.
Yes. No idea. So she announces we're going to golf and stuff. They head over to golf and stuff. And
with the montage.
I think for everyone here when I say this is where we first really see Allie's titties on display.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But this is the most emasculating montage of all time.
Yeah.
First of all, she's bent over him helping him putt at mini golf. Then he's riding in the back as she steers the bumper boats. Then he celebrates beating her in foosball hockey.
Bubble hockey.
As he scores against her. Like if they were to eventually have sex, like he's definitely the inside spoon after.
Yeah, they go to leave. Johnny rolls through with a car. He's like, hey, he's got some weird convertible, looks very expensive. Also, it's got 87 people in it, and he's like, Allie, you want to ride?
Room.
There's no fucking room.
Oh, Tommy's jammed in the back seat with two women.
Yes, they're like sitting on the top.
But that was only after the random dude in the court.
Who was that?
The older guy that had obviously slayed Allie.
Yes.
She was a freshman and he was a senior.
He knew her.
He got that.
Wasn't it Ron Johnson from Fast Times?
Was
I think that was Ron Johnson.
You're kidding.
Cross-covering the movies.
Yeah, he's a stereo salesman.
That clearly is a former boyfriend of Allie's who made a bad decision at a party after too many wine coolers.
Yes.
And then,
Ron Johnson from Pacific Stereo.
Memories of you, Ron.
So
if I asked you to take these out in the cruising vehicle, what would you say? I'd say, who the hell's Ron Johnson?
So
Brad.
After golf and stuff, things seem to go pretty well at golf and stuff, although Daniel gets a little emasculated because he thinks Allie really wanted to bail with Johnny Lawrence, which
she kind of probably did.
I mean, I don't know.
Of course she did.
She seems pretty over him, but he probably had coke. Wait, they were going.
Can you imagine how bad that station wagon must have smelled? I'm sure she didn't want to get back in that thing.
Just because she works at a Chinese restaurant and drives that thing back and forth every day? She's got the Kung Pao funk on her when she gets in and out of that thing.
I cannot understand what she sees in Daniel.
No, of course he's very skinny. He's not a man.
I could not.
She's trying to drive Johnny crazy.
Yes.
Because she secretly has it still for him.
Yes.
And she wants to hurt him before going back to him. So she does it by picking the biggest loser in the school.
Really, the biggest loser? I would pick someone that was like
she picks
know,
the total
kind
of opposite
equal to Johnny.
Freddie Fernandez.
Like his company.
Tommy?
No, because Tommy wouldn't.
I would fuck one of his friends, quite frankly. Yeah.
Maybe this is the move.
That's how you get that reaction.
You would never be able to read Tommy. He would have all of his emotions.
No, that's Bobby.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Yeah. So after golf and stuff, we get the sand the floor sequence. We get the paint the fence sequence. He just leaves him a note. Hey, paint the house like this. And he's drawn little hands like half this way, half this way. Also, kind of fucking sociopath asked somebody to paint their house with a brush. and then Daniel LaRusso paints the entire house in one day with his hand.
He's a good worker.
Handyman.
He should be running the apartment building.
I bet he would fix a sink inside of 48 hours.
But then we learn at the end of this, Daniel's like over it. He's like, I painted your fucking house. I sanded your floor. And we learn.
It's like a scene from Extreme Home Makeover. Yeah. Like when the owners come back and their house is completely redone.
Yes.
Pretty nice house.
It's a pretty like sweet pad that he's got. It turns out that he was actually learning karate the whole time. Although he's like such a priss about it. He's like, show me sand the floor. He's like, sand the floor. Like. Like no steady hands anything like that. But we learn because Miyagi starts trying to punch him in the face and he's able to block. We've learned that he's learned defense, right, Ed?
Show me pin defense.
The reveal there is one of the great moments in the 80s movie history. That is such a like a great moment where you realize he's been teaching him like – fantastic.
The big reveal. Yeah. Yeah. If you've seen that movie for the first time, you're like, oh my God, this is genius.
But Ray's been teaching him the like jazz hand blocks.
Right, exactly. But it's really crazy to think because he's basically remodeled the guy's house in 3 days and learned fucking karate.
Good deal.
That's amazing.
Mutually beneficial is what they call it. Yeah.
Then Miyagi takes him to the beach. Well, first, this is the point where we learn his shoulder's real sore from painting the house.
Right.
And Miyagi sorts him out with his healing hands at that point. Right, Ed?
All right. Cue up the Bill Conti music and everything's all right.
Yes, exactly. So then they go to the beach. Miyagi has a scene. He's like, dodge the waves. By the way, it's December.
It's cold.
It's fucking freezing. And Daniel just trots off to the water. And what's
either. There is somebody at the beach. Racist Benny from L.A. Law. Kid's got a pet nip. Yeah. He's got a pet nip.
Yes.
Kindly remove and he's yourself, wearing a Nats Mr. hat.
Also,
he's wearing a Washington Nationals hat.
Yeah, he's got a Washington Senators hat on.
Nationals hat. It's incredible. It's vintage, but it's actual what they wear today.
It's a Washington Senators hat, and he's got all his beer. Like, who does that? He's leaning on Miyagi's old truck. He's got all his beers lined up, and Miyagi's like, hi-ya, and slices all the tops of the beer bottles
with
his bare hand.
The glass.
The glass breaks. Yeah.
Kid's got a pet nip. Do you know any tricks, kid?
Excuse me, please. Boy cold must leave. Kindly remove a bottle.
Kindly do it yourself, Mr. Moto.
Okay, this sort of is Miyagi a magician of some sort? Because this defies physics. The like bottles Yoda. Would fly away. Yeah, as Ed says, he's like Yoda. The bottles would fly away, but he's able to slice them in half with his hand.
Yet he can't catch a fly with those chopsticks. Right.
Yes. Very.
And I've always had an issue with that ever since I was young. Yeah. I remember the first time I saw this movie, I'm like, you just created a bunch of glass when we just saw that you and Daniel were barefoot. So now they need to get into the car with a bunch of glass around.
It's like Die Hard.
It's very dangerous.
It's like Die Hard with the broken glass.
Then he takes him out on a rowboat in a very isolated place. Didn't look like Los Angeles.
Castaic.
Yeah, they drove
up there.
Yeah, Pyramid Lake. They were way out there. And Daniel, knowing his target audience, is wearing cutoffs.
Right.
Does he have a shirt on?
He had a shirt.
Yeah, he had a plain three-quarter sleeve shirt.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. He had a raglan shirt on.
And denim cutoffs
so he could climb up on the bow of the boat to give Miyagi a better view while Miyagi taught him balance.
Which is pre-lap dance moves.
Yes.
Balance.
What else? Then we get – so they train more. There's a lot of homoerotic training montages. And then we get to the point where Allie can't – first of all, she can't meet Daniel till 9:30 because she's going to dinner at the country club with her parents.
I gotta go dance to World War I music with Johnny.
It was a little weird.
There
was an orchestra. Also, Allie's mom clearly wanted to fuck Johnny because she's dancing with them. She's like, you're monopolizing the hottest man here or something. They trade partners.
No, she said that about her husband Allie, which was also equally weird and creepy.
And that Daniel, no patience, creeps in the fucking back door.
Through the kitchen.
Yeah, through the kitchen. Like, also, wearing all white and a all weird windbreaker.
And a red windbreaker.
Yes. White pants, white shirt.
White zippers and white piping.
He looks like the valet.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. The kind that the hood unrolls from, like, did anyone ever use that hood? You could never get that hood back into that windbreaker.
No, it was a one-shot deal. Then it became a hooded windbreaker.
So the father's dancing with Allie, and of course
the mom's dancing with Johnny. Yeah.
They need another scene to show just how repugnant and how despicable rich people are. And the father says, do you have a date tonight?
Yeah.
With who?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that kid from Reseda.
What's her name? Allie rolls her eyes at Johnny, and the dad's like, are you having a lover's tiff? That's not how you speak to your
super creepy
16-year-old daughter. Creepy. So
then
creepy.
Daniel makes a fool of himself, gets gallons spaghetti. Of pasta. How much pasta?
Who ordered that spaghetti?
I've been to a couple of dinners at a country. Nobody ever gets spaghetti.
No, of
there's
course
steak.
Not.
There and if they do, yes. There may be some scallops. Yes. I like
maybe,
scallops.
Of course.
Yeah,
doesn't.
A little bacon around the outside.
Maybe some chicken cordon bleu.
Right. Yes. No, spaghetti is what they give you in jail.
No.
They're not going to give it to you in these country clubs.
Hey,
it was
ragu. Who ordered the shit? Who ordered the shit on a shingle?
Pour gallons of spaghetti on him.
Yeah. It was like a bucket. They were going to slop the pigs.
Right.
The chef was so insulted.
They bring a pot and a ladle and they go.
Yes.
And somehow those swinging kitchen doors are held open for the whole country club to see.
That's absolutely. And all the adults start laughing.
Exactly. Yes. If you saw a child, which presumably Daniel LaRusso is, get knocked over with piping hot food all over him, he's mortified. Do you go,
start
laughing at the kid?
It was exclusively adults.
If you're a rich person, you do. That's what rich people do, right?
He was not rich and he wasn't white, so I guess you could laugh at it.
I've never wanted to be rich more than in that moment.
Yes. okay, so where are we? Yeah, they do the country club dance.
They go on the date, right?
No, they've already had the date.
Oh, that's right. They can't do the date.
So I think he runs back to Miyagi, and Miyagi's
this
wasted.
This is the drunken Miyagi time.
Yeah, he's wasted
Miyagi.
It's maybe the next day. Daniel's dressed up. He's just passed his driving test. He's 16. He goes over to Miyagi's to celebrate.
But can we go back to drunken Miyagi for a second?
Well, we're at it.
Okay.
No, I thought he went over with all the spaghetti.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then
that's
the next morning he comes back. And so I didn't really want to hang with Miyagi because he's not really kind of what I'm into.
Yeah.
He's into things that I'm not into. But drunk Miyagi seemed fun.
Well,
but I got to tell you, when I'm kicking back with a few at home, I usually like to get real comfortable, like t-shirt and some, sweats, something. I mean, Miyagi goes full army uniform to get shit-faced.
Sergeant Miyagi. Yes, sir. Sergeant Miyagi report to kill many German, sir.
Yeah, he got dressed up in his army with his medals and everything.
Mrs. Miyagi.
we learned
the love of his life until... Karate Kid 2 reveals the love of his life is still alive in Okinawa.
Remember, at the beginning of Karate Kid 2, and I feel like we're getting a little off point here, but when they're leaving and he's like, hey, I'm coming with you. I'm going to fly across the world. It's no big deal. And Miyagi says, like, well, what's up with Alan? He goes, she's banging some guy at UCLA.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like they just immediately turned her into a slut. Yeah. And, like, in one sentence, she went from the loyal
girlfriend.
Is that
true?
Yes.
Slut shaming. That's where it started.
Hold on.
Well, she was a slut if she crashed his car and fucked some dude at UCLA.
That's true. That is true. But this is not a Karate Kid Part 2 podcast.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Like I said, I felt like we were getting
That could be next year.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so Miyagi's wasted. We learned that his wife and child died in an internment camp.
On November 2nd, 1944. So maybe you want to...
The war was almost over, too.
Right.
just a couple more months, we would have been fine.
Also... How old was Miyagi?
Like 1,000?
We're supposed to believe that the guy he was like 70? Let's all take a
If he's having a kid in the 40s, he's 25?
Kate McManus, at the time, 1984, how old is Mr. Miyagi?
68.
Jason? 84.
84
I would
years
say
old.
72. He's, no. It was 1984.
1984. He's 72 years
72.
Old. You?
75.
All right.
Travis Rogers says 75. Ed, how old? You actually know. How old was Pat Morita when this movie was shot?
Morita was 51 when it was shot. He was born in 32.
I knew it.
He was 12. He was 12 when his wife and newborn son died in an internment camp.
I knew it.
Wow.
He was younger then than Ralph Macchio is now.
Yeah,
right. That's exactly right.
I found Drunk Miyagi mad depressing. He made me really sad. I almost started crying.
Well, he won an Academy Award for that scene, pretty much.
Also,
wait,
he did. No,
he did?
No, he didn't.
Can I just talk about the fact that
if he didn't win, if he didn't, he got nominated for sure.
Did he?
Yes.
Did?
I am positive. I think he
won
the
Academy Award. Fact check.
Okay.
Hold on.
Are we going to just gloss over the fact that Miyagi's got two glasses of whiskey poured when
he's ready?
He tells him to drink.
What is that?
Drink up.
Yeah, when Daniel shows up and Daniel just starts slurping whiskey back with Miyagi. Like, nobody. The dude's 17, 16.
And also, I don't think he parties. We've never seen him even with a beer in his hand in this movie up until now.
It's a little weird. Something to add, Kate?
This is the second time he is drunk that Miyagi falls asleep like a narcoleptic. The first time was when he was meditating in the middle of the day.
Yes.
And this is very much like Brian after a few drinks. Brian fell asleep and started snoring no less than three times last night when we were watching this
This
movie.
Isn't a fucking behind-the-scenes podcast.
It happens.
This is we're doing the thing right here. We don't say what happened before the thing.
It's fine, Brian.
Oh, okay. So,
all right. So, could I interject?
Yes.
Unbelievable! Out of nowhere, Ed Daly with a fact.
Ed knows a lot of shit.
He was nominated for a supporting actor. Unbelievable!
That really surprises me. Shit.
I'm gonna find out who won.
He lost to the Asian guy in The Killing Fields.
Oh my god! Yeah. Unbelievable. That, yeah. Okay, so he's 51. He's playing 80, obviously. So. The next day, I'm not sure if it's the next day, but Daniel comes back over and they have like a little birthday celebration and Daniel's like, oh shit, my mom baked me a cake and I was supposed to be there the whole time. Pretty shitty son, but before-
Worst mother, frankly.
She sucks. She likes to bake though. We've learned she likes to bake.
I don't like her.
So, as he's about to bounce on his BMX bike, Miyagi goes, you get a license. And he's like, yeah, I got my fucking license. And he showed it and he's got a spell. Like, he thinks he can't read or something. He's like, see right here. It says Daniel LaRusso.
And it's all folded up and creased.
Were they just a piece of cardboard back then?
No, when you turn 16 and you get that first license, they give you a piece of paper and then they ship you the real one later.
Why doesn't Daniel have any friends just because he hangs out with me?
Have you been watching the movie?
Yes.
Because he's terrible.
Have you
seen the way he dresses?
There's other nerds.
Have you seen the way he dresses? So Miyagi's like,
but
hey,
he's not a nerd because he's obviously stupid. There's no way for him to land. He likes karate. He likes to be. He rides a bike to school. He dresses like an idiot. He's not real bright. He's like the misfit of all misfits. He fits nowhere.
Right.
Travis is giving us like the insider's perspective. You know how they have like a former ball player. We have like the former bully involved.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you're not wrong. But he's easy because he doesn't fit anywhere. And this is the kid that many years later, if this movie were made in the 2000s, it would have a much darker ending with Daniel.
That's for
it
sure.
He'd be the guy that'd be at home stewing. He'd be on the internet.
He'd go to school with a gun. The next day, trench coat mafia.
Johnny. Yeah, Johnny would be the one that would be the point of his wrath, but he'd get everyone in the way.
Yeah, that's for sure.
He wouldn't be hanging out with the Japanese karate master.
Now you're right.
So Miyagi, like, again, another classic pederast maneuver, gives Daniel his choice of all the cars he's waxed. Here you go. Gives him a car for his 16th birthday.
He chooses the one that's closest to him.
Allie forgives
him. He chooses the worst one.
Yeah, it's the worst one.
It's the worst one by far.
No, there's a wag. There's a badass wagon there. That's the one you go for.
If you're Daniel.
Daniel gets the convertible.
You're looking at it like
so much upkeep.
What have we figured out about Daniel? Daniel is an attention-seeking loser.
Yeah.
Okay? So he picks the most obnoxious car. It's bright yellow.
Yes, right.
And it has no practical purpose other than it's the one that will make people stare.
It also seems like a chick car.
Yes, totally. And
right?
Yeah, it's like
you might as well
have picked
out the Miata.
Right. It's the 1930s equivalent of a cabriolet.
Right.
So he bounces out. He bounces back to golf and stuff. There's Allie.
But you have to admit that there wasn't a 12-year-old in the country, and I'm a child of the 80s, who didn't want to fucking be on that water slide. That was an amazing. Yeah,
I was very confused why the water slides were operational at night. That seemed
in December. Yeah, it's freezing.
And that's how it speaks to, like, I remember watching that movie and thinking, I want to be on that thing. I want to be with Elizabeth Shue. It was actually, every time they went to golf and stuff, I was like, I need to be Daniel right now. And that was also the scene, and I'm stealing from the Scholars bit here, and you should try to access this online.
Jason's name dropping. When his Hollywood royalty friends. Go
on. Those are good guys.
Yeah, Trav wants a piece of that too.
But at some point during the golf and stuff, and before he reveals the yellow car to her, he says the famous line, so I guess you know about the tournament tomorrow. And her response, like without hesitation, is, who hasn't heard?
That's right.
Come on. Who in the 818 area code?
I'll tell you who hasn't heard.
Everyone
that's not in the karate tournament.
Well, we'll get to it, but you get there and there's like more people than spend the entire Marlins season.
Also,
he's supposed to be going to meet his mom. But then he goes to golf and stuff.
That's exactly right. He's like, I got to get home to my mom. My mom's baked me a cake. And what's he do? Drives to fucking golf.
But you know what?
He's an asshole. He's a shithead.
Hang on. This is the first sign of him actually being an actual teenage boy where he thinks, all right, I got a new car. Now I got to go chase the poon.
That's pretty smart.
I got to go flex in my new yellow ride.
He gets his car. Things are going pretty good for him. And then...
Wouldn't it be great if Johnny saw him and go, that's a fucking stupid car.
Right.
Because he would
It is a stupid car. It is a stupid car.
And to Kate's point, he'd be like, he'd be flexing. He'd be doing... Right. And all the Cobra Kai would be like, dude, that car's a stupid car.
Yeah, what's up
that's
with that
a
car?
Stupid car.
That's a stupid car.
Who gave you that thing?
Our rich dads get us way better shit. Did you see Eddie, who fucked Allie last year? That guy's got a fucking brand new Corvette. It's white.
And he's rolling around in someone's grandma's car.
Yeah,
And you think that, I mean, these are from the group of writers that wrote the incredible insult, what is it, Walk With Your Worm Day?
Take a worm for a walk.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think they would come up with something for the yellow car.
Jason, sick ferns are flying.
Butchered that line. Unbelievable.
Come on.
Okay, so the next day, he leaves golf and stuff.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
When does the grossest movie kiss ever go down?
Oh, yeah. A lot of tongue
action. Has that happened yet?
Yeah.
Does that not happen at golf and
at
stuff?
Golf and stuff.
It does. Okay. I don't recall that part. Go ahead, Kate.
Open mouth tongue.
Hang on. The grossest movie kiss
will always be Gene Hackman and Barbara Hershey by the fence in Hoosiers. That's the grossest.
Tom Cruise and Top Gun.
This was way up there for me.
Tom Cruise and any broad is a little under.
That's the thing. Yeah. But you're right. Okay. Open mouth, tongue. That was pretty aggressive, I thought.
So the next day, we're into Act 3, the beginning of Act 3. And it's December 19th has come.
The third act is good.
It is the All Valley Karate Tournament. Ed, a lot going on with this karate tournament. Give me your thoughts.
Well, this is where we get the full picture of Dutch, right before it starts.
Right. That's right.
Like, he's always been creepy. He's the dude with the peroxide hair.
Should we fill people in on who Dutch is, IRL?
He's Steve McQueen's son.
That's right. Dutch's dad was Steve McQueen. He's got peroxide hair, but let's not forget he's also somehow dyed or bleached his eyebrows to match his hair. Yeah. I don't know about the carpet and drapes situation with Dutch, but I imagine Tommy does.
Yeah. Nobody who uses a blow dryer that much doesn't know about the carpet and drapes.
For sure. Yeah. Dutch is a little awkward, and so the fights begin, and pretty much from what I can tell, literally everyone in the tournament, even the guys that lose, are much better at karate than Daniel LaRusso.
Oh, Bobby is actually dominant. Yes, Bobby rolls people. And he was the runner-up the previous year. They reveal that at some point. He lost to Johnny in the final.
Is that true?
Yeah, they reveal that. Like, I think when they're introducing him in the semis, they say, you know, last year's finalist, Bobby Brown, I think his name is.
Did they ever give the name
Bobby
of
Brown,
the
rapper?
That's Bobby's last name in the movie.
The Hawaiian guy that loses.
Vidal. He's a Filipino dude. Yes, Vidal.
He was dominant.
Yes, he's much better at karate than anybody in the tournament.
Dramatically better. And I looked him up. Yes. And he's a 10th degree karate grandmaster.
Yeah, he looked like it. He looked like he was the one guy that was cast well.
But then all of a sudden he fights Lawrence and he totally takes a dive.
Yeah.
Totally.
The guy that he lost all his skills.
And well, does anyone have any idea of the scoring in this tournament? Because the rules are all over the place.
The big moment where
Bobby gets disqualified.
Right. Bobby kicks him in the thigh.
He kicks him in the thigh. That's
sweet
not.
Leg. Yeah.
Do we not need to go back when the actual scoring of the tournament was explained by Allie? Remember they coming in? And he goes, and Miyagi's like, I fight for no points. I fight for life and death.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's really easy, Johnny. And just gonna, point to the kink, the ribs and the neck. It's stupid. Like she's more plugged into the karate scene than because, the idiots in the Cobra Kai arts.
Because she was nailing the champion the previous year.
Yeah.
And you know that's all Johnny talked about with her. Scoring, karate scoring.
Yeah.
So
and like how many points he made every day.
So they're fighting and it's like sometimes you kick a guy in a leg and you get a point, but sometimes you kick a guy in the leg, pretty much the same kick, and you get disqualified from the match.
And a lot of times like they land a shot, like Johnny landed shots against Daniel in the finals, and they just don't count for some reason.
They
just do over.
That was
they
weird.
Both they so they get the Johnny and Daniel's fight goes 2-1.
I need sweep and then, the leg explained.
And
to
then
me.
They fight for 10 minutes, and both of them score like 6 or 7 points each, and then it ends up being 2-2.
It's like ping pong. You got to win by two.
How about
when Johnny has a bloody nose? And they call timeout, as they do in sports, to clean
that
it up.
Unfair.
And Kreese takes his thumb and just smears the blood around his cheek and then sends it back out there.
But what is sweep the leg? Let's kind of analyze that.
Sweep the leg.
That's we need to get into this.
Huge part of the
guys.
And
been,
he
guys,
elbows him in the back of the knee. He never swept the leg.
Guys have been getting kicked in the face the entire tournament. That guy Vidal is flying through the air and just fucking destroying guys with spinning high kicks and shit.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, John Kreese says, sweep Johnny's leg, and it's considered bad form.
Sweep the leg.
Like that.
Right.
That's against the rules.
And it's like swinging 3-0 when you're down a couple of runs.
Also, did Daniel break a rib the first time? Because they've got him all wrapped up.
He has tape on his ribs, yeah.
And then he can barely walk after he gets the leg swept or whatever. Yeah. Like, what are these injuries?
Yeah, Johnny grabs his leg.
They seem severe.
And elbows him in the back of the knee. If you want to hurt somebody's leg, you want to elbow the front of the knee. The knee actually bends from behind.
He elbowed him in the bendable part of the knee. That's forgiving.
That would be one of those, like, if you got elbowed in the back of the knee, like, you'd be like, hey, dude, take it easy.
That would be
the extent of it. It'd be like, hey, easy.
You just made my knee bend the actual way it's supposed to bend.
And I think it's really weird that the whole premise of the ending, it's so unmanly that the sensei was willing to illegally injure the protagonist and win by default. Like, what kind of a man is that? Like, he was perfectly willing for Daniel to be out and injured and him win that way. And then when Daniel came back on the mat, it was like, oh, my God, he's back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Kreese was in NAMM. Kreese did some shit in NAMM. He might have smoked some shit
no mercy.
In NAMM. Yeah.
PTSD. And I got a couple of inside things from watching a little making of documentary.
Oh, my God, Ed, you're the biggest nerd I've ever met in my life. Go on.
That's on the Blu-ray extra that I watched last night. The referee with the mustache, he's the karate master who taught them all to fight. And Vidal was the guy who invented the crane kick.
Shut up.
Really? Yeah.
Vidal should have won the whole tournament, clearly.
He was awesome.
So there's a match. It comes down to the finals. There's a match between Johnny.
What about Dutch first?
We've talked about Dutch. Okay. There's a match between Johnny and Daniel LaRusso.
Yep. A gimping Daniel LaRusso.
He's very like gimping.
Daniel LaRusso is going to fight. Daniel LaRusso is going to fight.
Tommy is fucking off his tits. He fucking can't. He's like.
Get is he huffing?
And like,
he's on PCP at this point.
Yeah, luckily they only shot him from the waist up because the whole bottom of his gi was just cum because he was so fucking exciting.
That is so funny. I have written in my notes, right? I took some notes watching the movie over the weekend that the iconic line, get in my body bag, there's actual cum on the sensei's back of the robe.
Yes,
right
yes,
there. Yeah.
There is actually, yes. Tommy literally comes during that point. I think it's clear to everybody that's watching.
Get in my body bag! Yeah!
All right. So they go back and forth.
Also, Daniel's like gi is the lame.
Yeah, his gi sucks. He's half Johnny's size. He's very waify.
Waifish.
Yeah, yeah.
He's twinkish.
Yeah, he's a bit of a twink. I think Freddie Fernandez had him on the right track. Yeah.
Dutch would be a bear, right?
Mm-mm. Or is he's he a straight? Hairy. He's not, a straight. He's a straight. Yeah. He's I'll tell you what, he's a top. Oh. Dutch is a top. Dutch is all top. Tommy's
Dutch
versatile.
Eats you when he's finished.
Yeah. Ed Daly, I just learned, and I know Ed will appreciate this, that Dutch's acting career was very undistinguished in that at some point he
did. I was wondering what happened to him after.
He did the bullet. He did the sequel to Bullet. Like, he basically wrote his father's coattails, Bullet, great 70s iconic movie, and he did some freaking sequel that we've never heard of in the 90s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Chad McQueen.
And then
Steve
he got
McQueen's
so
son.
Into yeah. cars.
You know Chad McQueen?
And he got into so into cars that he started car racing. I just Googled him, and the one thing I saw was he recovered from a near-fatal death at Daytona, like, a couple years ago.
Really?
A near-fatal death.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dutch.
So they battle, obviously, anyone that knows anything, anyone that's been on this planet for the last 30 years knows that Daniel busts out what seems like just about the fucking most easily defensible kick there is.
Telegraph kick.
He's got, I mean,
what else could
what
he
else
do?
What else is he going to do?
There's nothing else to do.
Like, all...
That's the only karate move he's been taught,
yes.
besides the jazz also, hand.
It was also easily thwarted in yeah. Karate all Kid he, 3.
Also, all of a sudden, he can stand on one leg
and
that he's limping on.
Terry Silver.
Meanwhile, from the beach...
That's right. Mike Barnes, Karate's Bad Boy, disposes of that thing and no problem.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Ed. The Terry Silver just like, no, we just both we'll knock that out. That's not an issue
Ed's,
at all.
We're not, this is Karate Kid 1.
Terry Silver.
We're not talking
awesome.
Karate Kid 3, 2, 3, or 4 here. From the beach, we know that Johnny's main move is leaning to the side and throwing up that side kick to the gut.
Right.
He can dodge kicks. All of a sudden, he puts his face right out there for the crane and gets fucking crushed in the chin, which in this tournament
maybe guilt.
Cool.
Maybe after Vidal clearly took a dive against him, he was paying it forward.
Right.
I think that let's try to get into the mind of Danny here. He's flustered. His coach has told him to do some stuff that's against the rules.
Right.
He sees this twink, as Kate would put it, go into this crane position that was obviously kind of foreign to him. His first line of defense is, I'm going to throw my face into his foot.
Yeah, yeah. That's maybe John Chris is talking about. So Daniel wins. He's carried off. There's thousands of people.
And who the fuck are these guys?
Including
now
Fernandez.
Everybody loves him.
I feel like, honestly, Johnny's bangs got in his eyes.
It's true. Yeah, they could have been sweated up for sure. And couple things happen. When Bobby gets disqualified, he kick on Daniel's hip, he's like, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it.
I didn't mean to do it. Yes. No, that's exactly what you meant to do.
Bobby's conflicted. At some point, for sure, Bobby put a gun in his mouth. I don't think there's any question about that.
Right.
And then the same thing, Johnny gets his ass kicked and he brings Daniel the trophy.
Right. They
like
him now.
You're all right. You're all right now, LaRusso.
Right.
Meanwhile, he knew that he was getting trained by John Kreese later that night for losing.
And as the trophy is being thrust into his hands, as the climax of the movie, he wins the All Valley Karate Championship, and Johnny Lawrence says, "You're all right by me, LaRusso." You know what his response was? Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
that's what he said. Thanks a lot.
It might have been the most anticlimactic ending to a movie in
the
history of anything.
Hey, Lawrence,
it
ended fuck quickly. You! I won, and I'm banging your girl. How do you like me now?
Yeah,
that's the answer.
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
To Kate's point, though, it's like I can't believe we just spent 2 hours watching this entire buildup and movie, and all of a sudden it basically goes from Daniel wins, shot of Mr. Miyagi looking proud, credits.
Johnny's miraculously a good sport.
There's no comeuppance with the coach, that the
there's
sensei.
There's not another gross movie kiss between the two lovers.
To quote Kate McManus, as the credits rolled across the screen. That's it?
No. It was abrupt. I can't believe that.
It was a weird ending. It's a weird movie throughout.
I disagree. Yes? Thanks a lot.
Yes, absolutely. Ed, anything else to add?
Even though we spent the last hour and a half just bagging on this movie, I fucking love it. Yes, I thought it was fantastic. And just to compare this to that garbage Jaden Smith version.
Oh, well, no one's ever seen that, Ed.
But all I can tell you is, I refuse to watch it. But the reason why that doesn't work is they're two, like, sixth graders in love.
Right.
And when sex isn't on the table, although Daniel, maybe it wasn't on the table for him either. When sex isn't on the table, you can't care about a love story.
Right. No, that's exactly true. Also, he has French braids, Jackie Chan. It's in China. They're doing Kung Fu. Like, all sorts of problems with that one. There's only one Karate Kid, and... We hear Jason, do you have something to add?
One last thought to kind of sum everything up. And let's talk about the title of the movie. And anyone who's followed me on Twitter at Jason Stewart with an
God.
EW.
Oh, my God. The guy's got like 25,000
would know that
followers.
I'm big on alliteration. Like, alliteration to me is like what people who aren't creative go to when they need to name something. Like, hey, you know, whatever.
Like Freddy Fernandez?
Yeah. you know, like Charlie's Chicken, and you know, something that the people that aren't creative go to name something. Karate Kid is just it's just lazy. It doesn't have any imagination. To me, it starts you off with these guys weren't very creative to begin with. So let me throw a last shout out to alliteration is bullshit.
And also to add to that, calling the three guys Bobby, Tommy, and Johnny, which I found very confusing.
And Dutch.
But the three names, like, it took me almost until the very end of the movie to know which one was. Because Tommy was, like, he was actually mentally retarded, right?
Yes, Tommy was.
That's how I figured them out.
Well, Tommy and Bobby, they all have their own sort
of. Tommy was particularly special at the
end. I favor Tommy, definitely, absolutely.
Bobby had the Farrah Fawcett feathered hair.
That's right. But Tommy also had his own thing. They all sort of had, like, kind of buck teeth and were very scary. Chad McQueen was probably the best looking, but the most off putting
and clearly age inappropriate. Yeah, like the rest of those guys kind of sort of fit in.
No,
like,
I mean, not really.
Chad
not
McQueen,
really.
You're kind of like, no, he's 30.
Yeah,
karate man.
Dutch was the guy who had repeated like senior year three times.
Yeah, that's for sure. Absolutely. Okay. Anyone else have anything else to add?
I've got two things.
Okay, go try.
Number one, I'm on Google here, and I'm looking at Daniel's love interest from Karate Kid 3, Robin Lively, who, big fan.
No one ever saw Karate
Kid
3.
Second podcast in a row I've done with this guy, and he's brought up
Blake
Lively's sister.
Is that true?
Big fan.
Yes, and Rusty, European Rusty Griswold.
Exactly right. You know what? Daniel had a type, because she and Ally Hsu are both, they've got a little bit of the square jaw thing going on, and they're both very, very attractive, but they both are kind of attractive in kind of a masculine sort of way. Yeah. And Daniel's got a deal. That's my number one
Robin
thing.
Robin Lively was like the poor person, like poor man's Molly Ringwald.
Right. That's
you know,
her.
She was,
that's
a,
exactly
she was a redhead.
Right.
I 80s redhead. I sort of remember
her. She's a type.
Oh, I know her. I know. Yeah, I like her. She hasn't aged that well.
Oh, no. Wrong. Try again.
I mean, she's a little masculine, a little handsome. Right. Okay.
I like that. And then my second thing is thanks. Thanks a lot.
Outstanding. Okay. Everyone. That is an excellent job. I don't think that you can go on the internet, you can fuck around on the internet, you can look at whatever you look at. You're not going to come across anyone that did anything like we did this week. I have to thank my man, my partner, Ed Daly, because this was wholly his idea, and it was an excellent idea. I'm stoked that I could bring all of these great minds together. Travis Rogers, thank you for joining us.
Of course.
Jason Stewart, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Kate McManus, Fancy Sauce, you're here every week. It wouldn't be the same without you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, too.
Ed Daly, excellent job. As always, you put it together. It was an amazing, amazing thing. I hope people enjoy it as much as I did doing it. Thank you very much, Ed.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. This was
took
fun.
You well. Okay. That's it. That was it. The December 19th, the one of the greatest sporting days in the history of sports, the 30th anniversary of the All Valley Karate Tournament. That's it. That's episode 52. For Travis Rogers, for Jason Stewart, for Fancy Sauce, for Ed Daly, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. We'll see you next week.